get a brief on this moment and also, frankly, a brief on his Capitol Hill. Jack Fitzpatrick joins us now, our Bloomberg government reporter. Jack, I guess we want to talk about the dash through the end of the year, but I got to go to the moment at hand. The congressman from the 2nd District of Michigan, Huizenga, was very articulate about how sophisticates like him have to explain this to non-sophisticates in Washington. How dumb is Capitol Hill on crypto?
They are definitely catching up. It's, you know, they're smart enough to have concerns. And if you ask around, ask at least some of the more involved lawmakers about what their concerns are, they can express them. But, you know, Capitol Hill is not the most tech savvy place or necessarily the place where you even get into the deepest weeds of really complex financial policy or anything yeah. like that. So there's kind of an inherent challenge there.
What will you listen for today? I mean, forget about the nuances of FTX and the rest of it. What's the body language you're going to look for from the politicians of the House?
It's tough for them to legislate on this now or do anything at the very end of the year and the end of the Congress. So anything from leadership-aligned House Republicans, just to get a sense of where the House Republican Conference is on this and to what extent it's going to be part of their agenda when they take the House majority, and if they really want to be aggressive on making it a legislative priority, that's what to listen for, I think.
You know, it's interesting, Jack. I've been wondering, like I think a lot of people have over the last several weeks, where are the regulators? And now it seems like everybody's jumping in, the SEC, the CFTC. How do you think Congress wants to, what kind of role do you think Congress wants to play here or will play?
Well, that raises a lot of good questions because I think one thing to look for today is not only what are lawmakers' concerns with FTX specifically and Sam Bankman-Fried, but do they hint at further oversight over the regulators? Is there frustrated? To what extent is there frustration with the regulators? And does anybody get into any further directives that Congress sends the regulators, because they can't legislate the specifics of everything? But if they're not satisfied with the executive branch's oversight, do they tip their hand toward how they would hold the executive branch accountable on that? But that's not the easiest thing to get into, again, at the end of a Congress when the House majority is going to be switching. So really, I think learning where House Republicans stand and how high a priority it's going to be for them to legislate or hold regulators accountable in future hearings might be where we learn the most.
All right. Okay, Jack, we also have the issue of, is our government going to be running? Is it bills going to be paid?
Oh, yeah, detail.
Can you explain how this all works? I think the continuing resolution is what you folks down in D.C. call it. And just explain how it's going to go.
We've got to translate this. Jack, it's Christmas Eve. They go to their staff lunch. They have a few beverages of their choice.
Sure.
And then do they save the government?
More or less, yeah. So it really, functionally, the deadline to get something done is the Friday before Christmas, because after that is when they don't want to work. Technically, the deadline is this Friday night at midnight. They're talking about a week-long stopgap measure to push it to December 23rd. They do tend to wait so long that, you know, they're going to need unanimous consent on a time agreement in the Senate, not only to pass the stopgap, but probably to get the actual funding bill done. So it's going to be pretty last minute.
Okay, well, explain this to me. And, you know, I just wish, Paul, that they did like a bipartisan agreement to pretend that the cutoff date wasn't midnight, but was 5 p.m. so people could get home.
Right.
What's the difference, Jack, between a congressperson whose district is 200 miles from Washington versus a congressperson's district that's 2,000 miles from Washington, Christmas Eve at 2 p.m.?
The difference is if you are representing Alaska or Hawaii, you do not go home anytime around then. If you're, you know, if you're Richard Shelby, the top negotiator from Alabama, and it seems like things are getting resolved, he could probably take a weekend and get back fast enough on a plane. But the West Coasters get put in a pretty tough position because, it's a midnight deadline. There's a lot of uncertainty. You do not want to get on a cross-country flight not knowing if you're going to have to turn around and come back and vote again.
Does anybody live in their office anymore? I mean, Sweeney's got a place here.
Sure.
You know, I had one for years. They have my casket out back.
There are some house members who do that still.
There's still house members that literally sleep in their office?
It seems to be tapering off. That was a bit of a Paul Ryan thing. It was kind of a post-Tea Party good government. To my knowledge, there are still at least some that live in their offices. I think it's fewer than maybe 5 to 10 years ago.
I got 20 seconds. Are there any politicians still eating a lunch at the Hay Adams?
There must be.
Thank you.
I don't know if they're not at the Trump Hotel, at least, anymore.
Not at the Trump Hotel. That was so yesterday. Jack Fitzpatrick, thank you so much for the brief there. Seriously, folks, real public service. I mean, these people that are far away.
Yeah, that's tough for them.
I've been bumped. You know, you're in row one business class.
Oh, yeah?
And they'll go, Mr. Keene, excuse me.
Okay.
We need your seat for Mr. Fitzpatrick.
Well, how about, I'm sure, does the president still take the Acela train back to Delaware?
Don't know.
I don't know. I'm sure he's probably got some helicopters or jets or something.